Hi, I'm Josh Braun, and this is the Inside Selling Podcast, a podcast about selling without selling your soul, where I explore how you can make sales feel more comfortable and natural through the simple act of thinking like a buyer rather than a seller. If you want to get better at swimming, hire a swim coach. Want to improve your forehand? Get a tennis coach. In fact, if you want to get better at pretty much anything, a coach can help because a coach can identify areas to improve. And yet, if we want to get better at cold calling, few people hire a coach or even know how to coach. That's why I am super excited to chat with Kevin Dorsey, VP of Sales over at Patient Pop. Kevin has made a name for himself as one of the top sales professionals in the industry. In fact, he was also named one of the best sales coaches you should know. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's dive in. That, my friend, is the theme song. Is that what you play all the time? That you love that song?
Love it, man. I've been listening to that song for, I don't know, probably like 6-7 years now, and I still, like, it still gets me in my heart, like, so many reasons. So, like, yeah, man, almost every morning, still.
So you play that literally every morning, like, before you work out, before you go to work? Do you play it for your team, like?
So, no, it's walking to the office. So, like, where I park, I have about, like, a 5-6 minute walk to the office. And so, like, I put on the Bose, I put in the noise cancellation, and, like, that's the song I listen to going in, and it's part of, like Tony Robbins has like some visualization exercises, but of like going back, seeing previous struggles and like how you persevered through them, what the struggle for the day might be, how you'll persevere through that. And that song kind of takes me through that. And yeah, man, I love it.
So this is part of your like daily ritual, and you're big into meditation as well. It seems like you kind of do that every morning for like 15 minutes or so, or the TM, 15, the transcendental, or?
Right now I just use Headspace. So like I'm far from like being able to sit in a quiet room for 30 minutes and like take my brain to like, you know, alpha level, but like to take 10 to 15 minutes and center in a little bit. Like I really started getting into it about a year or so ago, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Like it's been a game changer for me.
In what way?
I am, and it'll be funny if any of my old like reps like listen to this, but I'm more patient. I don't respond as quickly as I once did. Things don't rile me up as much. I'm a very passionate individual, as you well know. And, you know, things used, like I probably get like very amped on things, good or bad. Now it's almost like, okay, like this is good, this is bad, we can fix this. I'm like those, it slows me down. And it also has helped center me on me. And I'm also a very competitive person. And for a long time, my eyes would always go to other people. Well, that person's making more than me, or that person is doing more than me, or that person is this. Now it's like, I'm more so to me, like, where am I at right now? Am I good? Yeah. Okay. I'm good. Let's go.
And the stoicism too, you're into that as well. Is that kind of dovetail into that? Is it a similar kind of philosophy? I don't know much about it.
So a little bit. Stoicism, I actually still struggle with a little bit, because the Stoics, right, the great Stoics of the time, they all really got into it later in their lives and then start to talk about, like Marcus Aurelius, right, like the journals of, like that's where a lot of Stoic teachings come from. Epicurus, same thing. They were writing these thoughts when they were 60, 70, like at the end of their careers. And it's like, well, did they get to that level of success because they were Stoic, or did their levels of success allow them to be Stoic? Mm. Right? It's very hard to say, like, don't think about the future. Don't think about the past. Just think about now. Well, yeah, that works. But I'm pretty sure Marcus Aurelius is thinking about the future of Rome when he's making a decision. You know what I'm saying? So like that's when I struggled a little bit, but I do try to really embody the, like it, the event is the event. How you respond to is what matters. And that's what I really focus on.
And that's similar with meditative practice as well, is it's a being in the moment as well, right? It's a similar kind of vibe. Yeah. Now it's something else that I noticed that was, I thought really interesting, is that you have taken these practices and you've actually incorporated them into the sales development organization. I mean, something that you said that I thought was really interesting was to focus on making your people better rather than making them better salespeople. And I thought that was super interesting. Can you talk a little bit about what that means for people that didn't read that and exactly what you're doing with the reps and maybe some, you know, the impact that's had on the organization?
For sure. So I've started to ask myself better questions on why people do or don't do things and trying to solve those problems, right? So if I look at an SDR org, one of the problems that many orgs deal with is how do I get my reps to make more calls, right? And so if you ask the first question, why aren't they making calls? What's truthfully the only reason why someone would not make a cold call?
Is it out of fear, the debilitating fear of rejection?
Fear, that's it. Because if they knew every call would lead to success, what would they do?
I'd pull the slot machine every time.
Yeah. So it's fear. So first, asking that right question, a lot of sales leaders and leaders will go, oh, it's work ethic. You just got to work harder. That's not what it is. There's something else. So it's fear. So then you go, okay, well, what are they afraid of? They're afraid of rejection. Okay, well, how do you solve fear of rejection? Why does rejection hurt? Well, you internalize it. You take it personally. You think it's your problem, not the event's problem. You're not connected to the difference between the event and you. Okay, well, how do you do that? They need more confidence and higher self-esteem. Okay, how do you solve that? Well, geez, what's proven to improve self-esteem, confidence, self-awareness, mindfulness, and conscientiousness? Oh, meditation. Weird. So maybe if I focused on solving the actual problem, it leads to the other things, right? So we're still running the numbers right now. And by the way, this isn't just my SDRs. I have AEs doing this too. And we saw about a 30% lift, as I think it was 38% was the actual number, lift in activity and meeting set by the people participating in meditation versus the ones not.
And I would imagine forgetting even that, which is fine, like just being better people, like in the world, like let's talk about like what, I mean, the calls are nice and all, but like, I mean, are there relationships? I mean, all kinds of implications there.
I was talking to my managers about this, right? I was like, I want to be unhateable.
Meaning, what do you mean by that?
Here's what it is. You may not like me. We may not be friends, but it's going to be hard to hate me. Like I'm waiting for the glass door review that comes out and goes, oh, KD made me meditate and say what I was grateful for every day. Like, fuck you. Like you can't hate me for that. Right. And so it's like, if we do the things that allow people to be better people, the meditation, the gratitude journalings, the recognition. Even to the point, right, like I got exercise bands in here for movement. We encourage breaks away from the desk. Like I want people reading things that aren't just sales related. Like if you're a better person, I believe that will carry over. And I want to start, and I'm starting to micromanage to that more, right? Heaven forbid that I force you to do something that makes you a better person.
Well, I've also seen, you know, forgetting the kind of quantitative data that you showed, I also saw some qualitative data in some of your posts from your reps saying things like, dude, it's making me better. I feel better. I feel more energetic. I mean, that stuff to me, I mean, the numbers are great, but that stuff is gold. I would imagine that you're impacting someone's life, making them a better person, well beyond sales stuff.
Yeah. And that feels good. And it's like, rather, you know, I'm growing in my career. I'm maturing. I'm learning what truly matters more and more. And that does to me. Like shit, we don't hit our numbers, but everyone that worked for us is better. Like that's gonna come back around eventually. You know, like it also allows you to ask even better questions. Like shit, we did everything right. We made people better. We had a process, and it still didn't work.
And do you teach them how to cook as well? Is there any like flambéing? That's next. Well, talk to me about this daily gratitude journal. So talk to us about that. What exactly is that? What do you expect them to do? Give us some more color on that.
We do it a little bit in Slack, but also too, it's even just an internal practice, right? But ideally you write it down, right? Have you read The Happiness Advantage by Sean Aper?
I have not.
Great, great book on the science of happiness. And it shows all the different ways across 21 days you can actually lift and rewire your brain to be happier. And it also ties in all like the quantitative effects too, like salespeople sell better when they are happier, right? And positive and optimistic. And so the gratitude journal, it's teaching your brain to find the good in a day, right? So at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, the beginning is the best though. You say three things that you're grateful for. And at least two of them should be new. Because if you ask most people what they're grateful for, they're going to give you like the standard health, family, and shelter, right? Well, you're not teaching your brain to look for the good. That's why new gratitudes are so important. It's like you're looking for things. You're teaching your brain to go find the good in a day. Also, this plays into selling, right? Like you had a shitty day. You made 80 calls. You got rejected 40 times of them. Somebody no-showed and goddamn it, you got put on a PIP. Your brain still has to go find something good in that day.
So give me an example. What are you grateful for today? Just so people can understand like what this sounds like. If you're open to sharing it. I don't know if it's personal or not.
I'll share. I'm an open book with many things. So one of my gratitudes this morning was that I have a management team that I can have stern conversations with and they respond positively. Mm. Another one of my gratitudes this morning was that me and my wife have instilled an entrepreneurial mind in our daughters. I have a fun story I can share about something that happened in Costa Rica, but like it's something that's really been stuck in my head. So I was grateful that we've instilled that sort of mindset into our daughters, right? And then my last grateful for the gratitude today was to feel calm in a storm, right? So it's the last 2 days of the month. And it's very easy to always just like running around, but to be able to walk with a sense of calm there. Those were my three gratitudes this morning.
And you're on, right? You're on a podcast and it's the last 2 days of the month. So your wife's name, Oprah, is that her name? Am I saying that right? Is that not right? Yeah.
My wife's name is not Oprah. My wife's name is Jessica.
Okay. Cause she wrote you a card once so it was a joke. Okay. No.
Quote of Oprah. So that quote was something she put on her treadmill.
Okay. I thought she wrote, I totally misinterpreted. So your wife and you are completely different from what I read, and you instilled this entrepreneurial spirit in your daughter in Costa Rica. So what was going on there?
Well, I guess the beauty is we didn't do anything. And this is why I'm so grateful. It's one of my proudest parenting moments at this point. So I help my wife run her online business. I have a couple side things that I do. And so our daughters know, but we don't talk about it a lot. Like we don't say we're entrepreneurs or we're business owners. Like we do things at home. We work, we have projects, we go through things. Like my wife, she has a sports bra line called Wambas, right? It has a pocket in it. So like women can put like their keys, their card or their phone in there. And it has the EMF blocking material. So if you do put your phone there, it blocks the phone waves from getting to your chest. Right. So I help her run that business and it's been a lot of fun and like growing very quickly. So we're in Costa Rica and we just drove. And by we just drove, I mean, I just drove 4.5 hours across the country, right, to get to where we were staying for the night. I'm tired. I'm worn out. We get to the hotel. The hotel's trying to bamboozle me out of some money that I'm getting like pretty pissed off about.
Was it like an upsell or was it like I'm trying to charge you for what?
They wanted to charge me for my daughters.
Okay.
We got a 2-bedroom room and we said 2 travelers and they wanted to charge me for our daughters, even though the we didn't do a different room, like so just some shit.
So did you handle this like a salesperson and seek to understand, or did you just lose it? I mean, because you just lost it, or all that stoicism stuff out the window, the meditate. It's my daughter. You're charging me. Are you out of your mind? And things got crazy.
Interesting that on stoicism doesn't mean you aren't aggressive. It actually doesn't mean that you don't stand for what's right. It's just how you present it. So this is also something I've changed. Where like when I talk, the quieter I get, the more it hurts.
Meaning, right? So like in this situation where this person was saying, hey, we're charging you for your daughters, the old you would have been go Genghis Khan or?
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck you. Like, no, that's bullshit. I'm not going to do that. It doesn't work. It's like, but to be able to sit there, it's like, no, this isn't right. Right. Like you can stick it harder there where it's like, you don't get riled as much. And like other people start to get riled and your lack of meeting their level frustrates them even more.
So Chris Voss of Never Split the Difference frame talks about this. So he's got that. He calls it the late night DJ voice. That is something I simply cannot do.
Yeah, like, you have to focus on it. You have to practice it. It's like, no, I'm not going to do this. This is wrong, and you know it. Like, what are you going to do to fix it?
So what's this entrepreneurial thing? Is she hawking sports bras? What is she doing?
Yeah, so she has an e-commerce website. We've been selling for a few months now. Like, we've sold out every single time. Wow. Like, keeping has been the hardest part.
And your daughter's involved in this?
No, not at all. They just know about it. So to bring this all through, right, we're sitting at lunch. I'm pissed off. I'm having a beer. Like, I'm like, don't talk to me, anybody, right now, because, like, I'm frustrated. And my daughters are on the other side of the table, like, whispering and, like, talking to each other, like, super excited about something, right? And my wife, like, leans up, like, hey, like, what are you girls whispering? My daughter, Lily, is 7. Louisa is 3. And they said, we're going to start a business. And I go, what? You're going to start a business? And they were like, yeah, we're going to open up a smoothie shop in Costa Rica. And we're going to call it the Bug and the Bear, right? Because Lily Bug, Issa Bear, those are their nicknames. They're going to call it the Bug and the Bear. And they start talking about all the different smoothies they're going to sell. And then my eldest daughter goes, oh, you know what? We should have beer for the adults too. So they're like, they're 7 and 3, and they're talking about running a business together and what they would do to attract, like, that. Like, seriously, like, I'm welling up even talking about it. It was just, and it's not something we've ever sat and talked with them about. They've just,
they saw it.
Right. And like that
Gary V would be very proud in this moment as well. He would be.
I got pictures of it too. Amazing. I don't know what you do overload of me. I got this conversation and their pure excitement in it. Like, amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's awesome. And, you know, something else I wanted to ask you about, you're the kind of guy that's always looking to, you know, improve and level up. And one of the, you know, great coaches, a lot of the stuff that I read is about how you get people to be better. You're certainly modeling that for your daughters through your entrepreneurial, and they're picking up on stuff just by watching. You do something really interesting with your team that I want to learn about, because I couldn't glean exactly what you're doing, but this idea of being reflective of your cold calls. I think you ask your reps to actually score their calls. You said something super insightful that might not be obvious, which so many sales leaders, myself included, make more dials. And your point was, hey, I'd rather someone make 40 dials than 50. If that person making the 40 dials is the person practicing their script for, or their structure for 25 or 30 minutes and burning it in. And then you have a way of them scoring it and being reflective on it. I want to go a little bit deeper into there, because I'm super interested in, you know, these connects are rare. I don't care what technology you're using, unless you're a baller and you got something like a connect and sell. You're usually connecting, I don't know, 5 to 8% of the time. So you've got to make these connects matter. And it seems like you've spent a lot of time, you know, in the how do I improve the connect to book rate? And would love to just get your thoughts on what you're doing to the extent that you can share.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I'm probably doing a webinar on this. I've been asked a lot about it lately. So I'm probably going to do a little something of, like, just breaking down how to build a scorecard, because it's actually not that hard. You just have to take the time to do it, right? How many sales reps have you coached in your life?
60-ish, 60, 70-ish.
All right, 60, 70-ish. When you're breaking down their calls, how often are you giving new information or information that you've said before?
It's repetitive.
Okay, there's your scorecard, okay? That's it. What are the things that we know are important on every single call? What are the 10 to 15 things that if you do on a cold call or do on a demo call or do on a follow-up call lead to the highest amounts of success? That's all it is, right? So when you build that and you break that down, now the feedback, one, is uniform, right? Like, I've got 10 managers out there. If they're all giving feedback their own way or scoring things differently, people are going down a different path. But if they all can say, hey, you scored 3 out of 5 on discovery because you missed these two parts, now they know where to improve. And now that leads into the practice part as well. It's like, we only practice the parts they need to get better at. Weird. Like, whoa, hold on. Like, we don't role play the whole call? No, why would I role play the whole call? You did great here. Good job.
It seems so obvious, but you're right. A lot of times I'll ask sales managers when they're complaining their discovery calls aren't going well, I'm like, what is a good discovery call? And I'm like, you kind of have to establish what is good and what's expected. And this idea of having a metric, do you also apply that to cold calls, or are those too small to cold calls as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Did you use the lost in the city tonality when you opened up? Did you present a problem that you had found in research online to start the conversation? Did you confidently ask to be transferred to the doctor? You got the doctor on. Did you get permission to ask your discovery questions using the proper tonality and leads? Did you put it in there? Did you ask 2 related gap questions, 1 why question? Did you set the meeting? 10, 15 things. Did you do these things?
And you're having them, for clarity, you're having the reps listen to, I don't know, a couple calls a week and fill out this scorecard just for themselves. Do you go over it with them, or is it just more of a self-reflective exercise?
It's self-reflective. It's shared with managers. Managers are also responsible for scoring some calls. And so I want them scoring good calls and bad calls, right? Like, okay, you talked to five today. You didn't book any of them. We got to find out why. Right? Like what happened? And if you didn't even get a chance to get into the call, shit, what else were you going to do? Right? Like you did the right things. Go get them next time, Tiger. Right? And then we put these into our best practice libraries. We build that out. And then that gives us a database. So like, here are our nines and our tens. Here are the best calls of things to go listen to.
So what I really love about this, so many people track so many metrics, but they don't do anything with them. Like they look at them and they have them and they got these dashboards with like 50 things. But what I love about what you're saying is these metrics are used to be able to actually improve the performance of people through coaching. And I think it's rare, man. I first off, I don't see a lot of people coaching really. And then, or knowing how to coach, because these are all skills. But how did you come to think of this? It seems like it's obvious, but it's just not happening. What's going on, Kevin?
I don't know. I don't know why messaging and conversations are not spoken about more. I don't understand it. I don't understand why I'm an outlier. I don't understand why like people don't. It's like at the end of the day, whatever tool you use, whatever prospect you use, whatever, like it's going to come down to what you said to that person. Period. If it didn't, we wouldn't need salespeople.
You also do something else that's really interesting. You use flashcards. I mean, I think back in the day when I was learning my multiplication tables, you know, 5 times 5, 6 times 5. And it's interesting. I do this thing in a workshop where I'll hold up multiplication tables and 5 times 5, people shout out 25, 6 times 5, 30. And then I hold up, send me some information. And there's like deer in the headlights. I'm like, but why is that? Because it's like the 6 or 7 things you're always going to hear. So is that how you use flashcards? You're also using them for stories, but I'd love for you to elaborate on that because I thought that was super interesting as well.
So, and I'm still getting them all built out here. Where I was previously, I had them for every objection. I had them for the gap questions. I had them for the product information. It's just scientifically proven to improve learning and retention. That's all it is. Peak, the science of expertise, talks about it. How we learn talks about it. The science of accelerated learning talks about it. Like I'm just going to do what I believe is best. If there's science that shows this improves retention and learning, why wouldn't I do it?
This is another huge thing is you've kind of went deep on how people learn. And I think people take it for granted that they could teach and coach. And there are scientific principles and there's research that's been done on how people learn. Talk to us to the extent that you can, because this could be a whole other podcast. You know, I'm in the role where I have to teach someone something, or I have to coach someone something. How people learn, I know I'm familiar with Peak as well. Is that kind of your Bible, or what have you learned in terms of how people learn that you think some people listening to this might be able to take away, or maybe even resources you could recommend?
So, there's a lot. Here, where would I start with this? All right, so one, it's getting rid of the idea of people have different learning styles. That's where I'd start, is they don't. People have different learning preferences, but there's actually no proof or data that shows someone learns better through visual versus auditory.
Because I would have think there would, because I just heard that before, like kinesthetic learners, auditory learners, I've heard that.
It's been said for years, for decades.
Huh.
No, and these are in the books I'll recommend at the end here. No, there isn't. Each learning module needs to contain 4 specific parts. It needs a visual. They need to see it. Auditory. They need to hear it. They need the kinesthetic, AKA they need to do it. They do need to do it. And then they have to have a feedback loop on it. They have to get feedback and repeat. You need to have all of those things to have the best learning possible. And then the 5th element is high repetition. That's the one that most people miss on, is repetition. For the love of God, I don't understand why in sales we think it's okay for people to sink or swim, why it's okay to push them off the deep end, throw them to the wolves, give them 2 weeks of onboarding, try it one time, and then go do it with someone. There is no other career, there's no other hobby, there's no other sport where that would be okay. But in sales, we think it's okay.
It's why I can't play the piano, because I waited for the piano teacher to practice and I never practiced during the week.
Right. Like, and that's it. But in sales, we do that all the time. So repetition, massively, massively understated in terms of true learning, right? That flashcards you brought up with multiplication. How many years did you study multiplication?
5-7 years in elementary school.
It wasn't the flashcard that did it. It's the repetition you went through, right? So if you hold up that objection card in front of a room full of salespeople and they can't answer it, it's because they didn't get enough repetitions. So increasing your repetitions is important for learning. Forgetting curve. This was a big one for me.
Forget it. What's it called? That's a weird name, right? The Hasenblad forgetting curve or something. Are you talking about?
I know. Right? And enough people don't know what it is. I was called a baby. You actually need to forget things and come back to them to get better retention. That changed how I did my onboarding. I used to move module by module. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 5, 6, 2, 7. You have to come back to it, right? So things like that are really, really
good. It's like a guitar. Like if I'm learning a song on a guitar, I don't go through the whole song. I go through the first 3 bars, then I go back, I loop it back around, and then I add another bar, I loop it back around. So with a cold call, is that how you would, like, they're literally peer role playing their calls, like for 15, 20 minutes, like you would practice a forehand or a backhand or free throw shots? They're just kind of burning it in like that?
Yes. And it's, but also, like, I like the way you said it, it's forehand and backhand. So they're practicing their forehand. Hey, this is Kevin from Patient Pop. I was just on your website. I was hoping you could help me out real quick. You got a sec? Hey, this is Kevin from Patient Pop. I was just on your website. I was hoping you could help me out real quick. You got a sec? Hey, like, we're practicing the forehand, right? And then it's like, what do you do? Oh, this is how we do this. What do you do? Oh, this is like, we're breaking it down and we practice those things, right? And then to feedback. So coaching and feedback, this is where other people get this. Again, sales, man, we're jacked up as an industry, but it really is. Like I love us at the same time I hate us because we do so many things wrong. Feedback is another one. Right? Think of the greatest coaches, right? What was your sport? You're saying tennis, like what was your sport?
I mean, I was a nerdy chess kid, but now I'm doing biking and swim. So swimming, I swim a lot.
Swimming. Oh yeah, you do. Yeah. Total immersion swimming. Right. I saw you get that, right? Okay. So you finish a lap. A great coach tells you what? Do they give you 5 things to work on?
Put your effing head down. Okay. Just do that.
Down. And here's a tool to allow you to do it. Give me 2 laps with your head down.
So smart. Right?
So same shit, right? That's the only thing you focused on. With selling, same thing. It's like, hey, okay, you just finished the cold call. Cool. Tweak this, go.
I'm guilty of this, Kevin. I have a tendency when I review cold calls and I do a lot of remote coaching, so I'll make videos of calls and I'm having like diarrhea of the mouth telling them 10 things that are wrong with the call. And to your point, it should be like, let's just focus on one thing you did well and one thing you can maybe improve the next time, right? And that's it. And then we're just going to keep looking at that until that's okay. And then we're going to go look at something else. Cause that's exactly right. The swim coach did exactly that there. He probably saw 7 things, but he's like, the biggest bang for the buck right now is to get your head deeper under the water. So there's just the crescent of your head is coming up above the water. And then that was 2 or 3 weeks. And then he started working on, okay, let's extend your arm.
Okay. So now it's important to pay attention to what they did or said. Like, don't hear what they said, but what they did. How did they describe it? They gave you a visual cue, the crescent of your head, kinesthetic, just below the water. You can feel it. Directive, keep it down, showed you. And then if they were really good, they would have given you a tool to make it easier so you can actually do it. That's how you teach. No one in sales does that. Nobody.
Well, I think we take teaching for granted. I mean, you remember this being in college. There's no doubt that the professors knew the domain, but most of them couldn't teach in ways that got you to care about stuff. It was boring. And I think that's the same thing with anybody. Most people don't know how to teach because they've never been taught how to teach.
One of the biggest fallacies in our entire educational system, we were never taught how to teach and we were never taught how to learn. Like, my learning's gotten better since I've learned about learning. Maybe I could have been a better college student if I actually knew how to learn. Come on, right? So those are things that come into. So if people want resources on learning, the science of accelerated learning, how we learn, make it stick, not made to stick, make it stick. There's another, moonwalking with Einstein. Those are 4 really good ones.
Kevin Dorsey, I knew you would not disappoint. If people want to know more about you, more about what your company does, maybe there's some people out here listening that know somebody that could use your service. Give a plug, man. You deserve it, buddy.
So I'm a plug patient pop first, man. Like we're building something special here. Our vision is to make this the best sales org in the country. And we're doing it with these types of things, right? This is how we run things here. We do this coaching, we do this type. So, and we're hiring like crazy. So if you're in LA, hit me up. If you're in big metros, we got field roles too. Hit me up. Like,
what do you look for? Like, what do you, when you, I mean, this is a whole other conversation, but if we had like, what's the one trait someone wants to work for you? They listen to this podcast or like, I like that dude. And people want to work for people that can make them smarter. You're certainly, someone's listening. Like, I want to work for Kevin. He's getting 50,000 freaking resumes. What do I got to do? Like, what's the trait that you look for the most? I mean, there's probably a bunch of stuff, but is there something that like stands out?
So even this has changed over time for me. Fast learner. Are you a fast learner? Because if you are, and you come into our coaching program, you come into our academy, you're going to succeed. So show me what you're doing to learn on your own. Show me what you've learned in the past year and how you've changed because of it. I don't care about your resume. I don't even look at resumes. I literally don't. I write on them for notes.
I spent all that money on
right? I love when I get those LinkedIn messages. Hey, I saw you went to Wisconsin. Go Badgers. Get out of here. Right? No, like, but if you see someone, no one's done this yet. Nobody has done this yet. Someone maybe hears this and does it. If you sent me a one-page piece of paper of the 20 books you've read in the last year and what you did differently because of them. Okay, trust me when I say we're talking. Here's the 20 books that I've read, and here's what I did because of them, not because I read it. And I love catching people in interviews when they tell me they read a book. And it's like, yeah, okay, so I read it. What'd you learn?
And what did you do differently?
What did you do, right? I had an interview with someone a few weeks ago, whether they see this or not, who knows? They were telling me, oh, I got my goals up on the board. You know, I'm a big believer in like Tony Robbins. I've got it all here. Like, these are my goals. I was like, cool. Like, read me what's on that whiteboard. They read me what's on that whiteboard. I said, do you do that? And they said, well, no.
Kevin is giving you guys the cheat codes, not only to get his attention, but I would imagine the attention of lots of other people as well, if you want a breakthrough. Dude,
it's not even about other people. It's about yourself.
Such a good point.
Do some shit. You'll be better, whether you work for me or not. Read some shit, do some shit. That'll be my tagline. I'll make a Morgan Ingram keep dialing.
Better Mondays? What? John Burroughs? Dude, yeah, you know what? This brings us full circle, and you're exactly right again. This is really about improving yourself as an individual, not necessarily about what you need to do to be a better salesperson or what you need to do to get a better job. Kevin Dorsey, man, you have been dropping so much pure gold on everyone. Guys, listen to this podcast 9 times, and for goodness sakes, take out a Google Doc and take some notes, because there's something about writing stuff down that just burns it in some more. Kevin's pointing at the screen if you can't see this, which means I think he might think that's a good idea. I don't know.
Learning back to it, right? Writing it down. I'm actually working. If I can make any personal plug, I have a personal project. Yes. I'm working right now that is dealing with podcasts, right? Because most people, when they're listening to podcasts, they don't take notes and they're almost always doing something else. That also is not good.
So what's the problem with that? So I'm doing that. So I'm in my car. I listen to podcasts all the time and they're phenomenal. And and you know what I've been doing lately, which I hate? I've been fast forwarding podcasts, trying to listen to more of them faster. And what I'm realizing is, what am I doing? Like, I'm not absorbing anything. So I want to hear about this. I'm curious about this. What are you trying to solve for? So what? I'm listening to podcasts. What's the big problem with that?
A few problems with podcasts. One, most of them are very fluffy. They are, right? Like, you got to weed through the fluff to get to the good stuff. Two, they're not designed for learning because they're not very structured and you don't always know what the content's going to be. That's one part. You don't know what you're going to get. But the second big part of that is you're doing something else. Question for you here, my man. Which part of the brain is responsible for learning, conscious or subconscious?
Sub.
Okay, if you're driving your car, which part of your brain are you using to drive that car for the most part?
Sub.
So how can you possibly retain the information if you're using the part of the brain that's responsible for learning? Right. So if you are on the, if you are in the car, if you're on the subway, if you're walking, people do it while they're exercising. Everyone loves to talk about the podcast they listen to, but you're literally using up a significant part of the brain responsible for the retention of that information. That's a problem. How do you retain information better? By combining the subconscious with the conscious. How do you do that? By writing. Writing is the application of the conscious brain. Okay, I'm writing, taking what the subconscious is hearing. That's how you retain better. So I'll put it out here. I know it's going to get released, but I'm releasing something called podcastrecap.co. And I'm summarizing podcast episodes, getting just the key notes out of it so that you can. It's not just like the show notes. It's like, okay, here are the actionable items out of this. The notes are taken for you. Now you can read it. You can retain it. I can read 10 episodes while you're listening to that one, and reading is more visual and subconscious than listening. You retain it better that way too.
So this is similar to what there has been done with some books, right? Like if I don't want to digest the books.
Yeah. It's like, here's the core. Here's the core.
I couldn't agree with you more. This interview, I love talking to you, but it's all over the place. And I'm sure that if I had it on, I'm putting myself in the listener's perspective, there was a lot of cool stuff here, but I got to wade through however long this is, 40 minutes. Maybe I don't want to hear about Lily and the juice thing. Maybe I do, maybe I don't, whatever, you know, props to you, Lily. I think it's great, but maybe some people don't want to, but I can skim through this thing and I can actually, maybe even have the notes I see a heading. I'm like, I want to zero in on that and go deeper. I think that's an awesome idea. Is this something that is out already? Can we get this is something you're formulating? Like, where are we? Are we MVP'd up yet? Are we
60 days? Landing page is actually up already.
How do you choose the pot? How are you choosing which? Because there's so much content out there. Are you focusing on sales?
Starting on sales and marketing, and the ones that I know people watch. Like, don't worry, you're gonna be in it too.
And Lily, Lily, if you're listening to this, your dad will make sure that you're highlighted in the notes.
I'm focusing on the world that I know, sales and marketing, and the people that I care about the most, sales and marketers, giving them access to more knowledge than they normally can have in a more digestible way to do it.
Love it.
That's what I'm working on.
And is there a website people can go to drop a name or email or write something down that they could?
Podcastrecap.co.
Love it. Kevin Dorsey, man, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. You did not disappoint, my man. I had to wait 4 months to get you on this podcast, and you have been worth the wait, my friend.
Oh, yeah, dude. This was fun, man. We'll do many more.